All right, Daniel chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse number 19. Daniel 7, verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom were ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And we have been studying prophecy for 13 weeks. The last few weeks we have gotten to this character called the Antichrist, and we have been trying to answer some questions. The first question we already answered is, what is an Antichrist? An Antichrist is one who is against Christ, but also in the place of Christ, an imposter. It has a dual definition to it. It's somebody who opposes Christ, but also is an imposter, one who is in the place of Christ, going all the way back to the days of Christ and John. John said there are many antichrists in the world whereby we know it is the last time. And so there have always been antichrists, those who replace Christ, perhaps you could call it religion, and those who are opposed to Christ. But then, of course, there is the Antichrist, speaking of a specific person. And we talked about him in 1 John 2 and verse 18, that they already had their eyes open looking for him back then. But there is going to be a man on this earth sometime that we have called the Antichrist. The second question was, when will he come? When will he come? We studied in the scripture that it would be after a falling away or after a great apostasy, a great departure from the truth, and also it would be after the removal of the Holy Spirit from the earth in the persons of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 talks about how he will be taken out of the way, and then the next verse, verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, the son of perdition. And so we believe, and we looked at other scriptures also that I think back that up, that Jesus Christ will, or the Antichrist will in fact appear on the earth after the rapture of the church. And we'll look at a little chronology again later in the message. Our third question was, where will he come from? And we saw in this text, as well as other texts, that he will come out of the fourth kingdom on earth, which was the Roman Empire. And that appears to be being revived in our day and age with the European Union and a common currency over there, and it's an area of the world that's really becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in the political realm and the commercial realm, and even in the religious realm with ecumenism. It seems all roads kind of leading back to Rome. And so we went over that. I tried to be pretty close. I showed you about the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the Iron Empire, which is the Roman Empire, which would someday be revived as we saw 10 toes mingled with iron and clay. And from this would come out a little horn. And that's in Daniel chapter number 2. And in Daniel chapter 7, here the four kings, the lion, Babylon, the bear, the Medo-Persian, the leopard being Greece, and then the fourth kingdom not even having an animal designated to it, just being called a beast. A beast. And we read a little bit of that text there. So where will he come from? We believe he will come from out of Europe, or a revived Roman Empire. And last week I began answering the fourth of our five questions that we're going to study about the Antichrist. And fourth question was this: what will he do? What will he do while he is on the earth? And we saw three things so far, and I'm going to give you a few more, but we try to label them by letters. A, he is going to speak great things. Verse 8, here we saw last week, it says, and a mouth speaking great things. Verse 20, it says, and a mouth that spake very great things. And then verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. And you can also read about his blasphemy in Revelation 13 and verse 5. And so the Antichrist is going to be the greatest, really, blasphemer that ever walked the earth. And so that's the first thing that he's going to do. He's going to speak great things against the Most High and against his saints and against holy things. And then B, he will be stout in his looks. Verse 20 we read, whose look was more stout than his fellows. What this is a term here that means he's going to be larger than life. And we seem to be in an ever-increasing secularistic and humanistic spirit all over the world that likes to make humans larger than life. And we can see whether they're TV stars or athletes or politicians or world rulers. We like to make people larger than life. And this one right here will be the epitome of that. In fact, there's even going to be an image of the Antichrist made, and somehow life is going to be given to that image, that people should worship that image. That's how large he is going to be in life, and that he is going to just receive the worship, and he's going to demand the worship of all the world for a time when he walks the earth. And we see a lot of worship of human beings nowadays building up, I think, to that where it's going to be considered just normal. That's what we do. We worship people. But, of course, we should have no part of that. The Bible says that no flesh should glory in man. We shouldn't glory in man. And we have to be careful about that. I ran across somebody recently who is a believer in Christ, albeit a babe in Christ, who happened to run straight into John Madden when he was in town a couple weeks ago for the Monday night football game, or Sunday night, I don't know what it was, but this person just about melted in his presence. Some of you don't know who John Madden is, and that's all right. We like to make people, you know, larger than life. And A, he is going to speak great things. B, he will be stout in his looks. C, he will war with and wear out the saints. He will war with and wear out the saints. Verse 21, and I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints. Verse 25, and he shall speak great things against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Now, saints are sanctified ones. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, that does not mean that the church is still going to be here while the Antichrist is on the earth. But that means that people will be getting saved during the tribulation period. There's going to be a great multitude in heaven that's going to sing that they were redeemed from the earth by the blood of the Lamb. And these are people who, when John asks, who are these? He's going to say, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So there is going to be a corresponding great revival on earth during the reign of the Antichrist, but he is going to oppose them. He's going to declare war on them. He's going to wear them out, and we will see eventually here there's going to be a lot of massacring of those who come to know the Lord during the tribulation period on earth, which I think we'll show you is going to be about 7 years long here on earth, and the last 3.5 years being what's called the Great Tribulation. So it is going to be extremely hard to be a believer. And I don't, you know, this is my opinion, but I don't think they're going to let churches be built during that time. And so they're not going to be able to so much draw the strength from each other that we do from our local church. And we ought to appreciate the local church while we have it. It's a blessing not to have to try to do this alone. Can you imagine trying to live the Christian life in this world alone? But we can get together 2-3 times a week or sometimes more and get some strength from each other to go on for a few more days. But I don't believe they're going to be allowed. Now, that's just my opinion, and I'm trying to tell you when I'm giving you my opinion on things here. I don't think they're going to be getting saved. Jews are going to be getting saved, and Gentiles alike. And I'm sure they'll be forming some kind of fellowships and getting strength from each other. But I don't know so much if it'll be an institution like we have today, the local church. Anyways, he's going to wear out the saints, and you probably noticed that even nowadays some believers are getting kind of worn out through all the transgression, the sin, and their souls are being vexed, like Lot. Remember Lot? He got vexed with his righteous soul and seeing and hearing the ungodly deeds of the wicked around Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's getting like Sodom and Gomorrah nowadays. And it can wear you down. And so you got to stay in the Word. And you got to stay in prayer. You got to stay in fellowship. And you got to keep doing the things that will give you the strength to go on. Now, let me get to a new point tonight for a little while. And that is, D, he will rule the whole world for at least 3.5 years. He will rule the whole world for at least 3.5 years. In verse 25, we read, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. And notice this, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now that's just an old phrase meaning a year and 2 years and half a year. That's 3.5 years. And so great will be his rule over the earth that he will dissolve all the laws and times of other nations and will usher in a radical new world where he will control the times and the laws. Laws of nations and peoples will be altered by him. There will be one law, and that will be his law. And he will even go so far in the religious realm not to allow anyone to worship anyone else but himself under the threat of death. Now, that's happened before, when we think of Nebuchadnezzar. He did that. It was a short experiment for, I think, 30 days, but or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but on threat of being cast into a fiery furnace if people did not worship the image that was made of Nebuchadnezzar. And when they heard all kinds of music and everything, they were supposed to fall down and worship. And, of course, you know, the refusal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the story. Well, the Antichrist is going to take that further. And with the advancements, I think, of technology and so on and so forth, he's going to be able to pull this off and expect the worldwide obedience to his law and also the religious life of the people to be focused on him. Now, I want to read some other passages right now in Daniel that I believe all point to the Antichrist or describe him some, so we'll do a little bit more reading than usual. But as I read through these, I want you to keep an ear open for words like abomination, desolation, sanctuary, daily sacrifice. And then we're going to go over into Matthew and Mark and let Jesus make sense out of those big words for us. But in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of the heaven. And that's the Grecian Empire, of course, that after Alexander the Great died, was divided into four divisions. And then comes the Roman Empire, out of which I tried to describe comes the Antichrist. And let's read a little bit about that in verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it came, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, that's a lot of like big words and everything. To be honest with you, I don't understand them all, but in verse 14, he mentions a period that lasts almost about 7 years. Now, to skip to verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two heads are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The first king of Greece, of course, was Alexander the Great. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood upon it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And that's the four divisions of the Grecian Empire. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And I think as you're going through this, you're seeing some things we've already talked about here. It talks about the latter time and the king of fierce countenance and his understanding, his power, not by his own power. Verse 24, we believe Revelation teaches in chapter 17, verses 13 and 17, that Satan himself is going to be controlling this man. He's going to destroy the mighty and the holy people. That's the war and the wearing out of the saints we talked about last week. He's going to stand up against Jesus Christ himself, the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. His defeat's going to be swift. And we'll get to that under point E when we get to it in a few weeks here. And this caused Daniel to faint and to be sick when he saw this vision. And so let's read another portion. Chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel 9, verse 26. I just want to show you here that this Antichrist is spoken of often in two books, Daniel and Revelation. You can almost put them side by side and compare notes. It's amazing. And I want to show you something kind of ironic about that. The Antichrist is also mentioned in three other books. There's just one little mention of him in Matthew, Mark, and then there's a good chunk in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's all I know of anyway. 9 and verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, that's the crucifixion, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant, that's a treaty, with many for 1 week. Now, 1 week does not mean 7 days. It means a week of years, which is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, that would be after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that being determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, again, I'm asking you to watch for the words abomination, desolation, sanctuary, daily sacrifice, these things. Chapter 11 and verse 31 says this, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. So there's the slaughter of the saints during the tribulation. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god. Now that's mentioned over in 2 Thessalonians, where he will stand in the temple and say, I am God, in chapter 2. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all. But in his state shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds of a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. So there's a lot of things we could talk about the Antichrist. He's described for us very clearly. The Lord wants his people to know about this diabolical character. We ought not to be ignorant of our enemy. And we ought not to be ignorant of the devil and his devices, we're told. And we ought not to be ignorant of the Antichrist. It is something we ought to study, not to sensationalize, but to see it coming. And finally, chapter 12. I just wanted you to notice how many chapters he is described. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. By the way, there's a description of Satan being one who runs to and fro in Job chapter 1 and verse 7. And Job chapter 2 and verse 2, and I believe this is not only speaking about advancements in travel, but in Matthew 12 and verse 43, restlessness. Restlessness. And I think we see a lot of restlessness today. And knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and one on this side of the bank of the river, and other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And then he talks about the abomination that maketh desolate in verse number 11, lasting 42 months, which is 3.5 years. So notice how many references there are to this. Abomination that maketh desolate, the sanctuary, the daily sacrifice, the covenant that would be signed with many for a week, 7 years, and halfway through it, it would be broken, and so on and so forth. And this is all during the reign of one called the Antichrist. Now, turn to Matthew 24, and Jesus mentions these many mentions in the book of Daniel. By the way, something about Daniel that is just fascinating to me is I'll read this for you, don't go back. But Daniel is described like this. Daniel 10, verse 11, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Daniel 10:19, O man greatly beloved. Daniel 9, verse 23, for thou art greatly beloved. There was something very special about Daniel. He's called three times, O greatly beloved, greatly beloved, greatly beloved. And it was to him that God gave the most fascinating Old Testament prophecy or revelation of future events. Now, in the New Testament, who is called beloved? Anyone know? John. And what did God give John? He gave him the book of Revelation. And I just want to interject that today. You know, we need to love the Lord. And you know, I know God loves the world. We all know John 3:16. He loves everybody. But there can be a special love that God can have for a certain person that will cause the Lord to give that person special revelation where other people walk around in darkness. And I believe the more you will love the Lord and the more you become beloved of God, like Daniel in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament, the more revelation he'll give you, the more insight, the more faith, and so on. He's just got some special things to give people who love him. And I just thought that was fascinating when I saw that recently. I'd never seen that before. God's great love for Daniel, and God's great revelation to Daniel, and then God's great love for John, and God's great revelation to John. Daniel was the beloved disciple of the Old Testament, if you will. John was the beloved disciple of the New Testament. I want to encourage you to love the Lord tonight. And just love him. And let him love you back, and you'll see things that just are just wonderful things. Special things I think he has for people. Anyway, Jesus and these texts in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 basically say the same thing. I'm going to have to close with this here. Matthew 24:15. Now, we just read all those chapters. How many chapters did we read? We read out of Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 11, Daniel 12. Five chapters where it talked somewhere about abomination, desolation, daily sacrifice, sanctuary, and so on. Now, Jesus brings that up in these end-time prophecies. Now, in the context, Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 were prophecies to Jews. We've got to be careful about that, all right? We can't be trying to make a whole bunch of Gentile applications to this, although there are precursors listed in here like earthquakes and pestilence and famines and nation against nation and so on and so forth. But he's talking in the context to his Jews who asked him, when will this be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the earth? And he answered, and part of his answer, beginning in verse 15, is this. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's the sanctuary. Now the word abomination means something that is foul, something that is detestable to God. The word desolation means to be desolate, to have nothing around. There's going to be something here. And if you'll read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I believe that corresponds to Ezekiel 40 through 48, I believe there's going to be another temple built. I believe they're gathering stones for it. While we were in Israel, Leslie and I, we saw the menorah that stands as tall as I do, the candlestick plated with gold, and all of the other things, the spoons and the snuffers and the all the furniture for the new temple is already made. It's already in the museum. They do not let Gentiles into it anymore to see it, but Dr. Bill Hiltz, years ago, he's taken 19 trips to Israel. Years ago, they did let him in, and he saw all the furniture for the new temple. Some of the extreme Jews have tried several times laying the foundation stone for the new temple. So I personally believe it's going to be a literal temple. Some disagree with that, but I think it's going to be a literal temple called the holy place here. I don't understand why, but there's going to be a reinstitution of the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices. Recently they found a red heifer that they can make the ashes out of to anoint a high priest to begin to make the sacrifices again. And I guess God's going to just step back and let them do that. I don't know exactly the reason for it, but there's going to be a daily sacrifice. The Antichrist is going to come in, and he is going to confirm, we read earlier in Daniel 9 and verse 27, a covenant with many people for a week, for 7 years. That's a peace covenant. And he is going to be looked upon as the Savior of the world. Wow, this man has brought peace to a part of the world that no one else has ever been able to bring peace to. And he's going to give the Jews liberty, I think, to build their temple or to finish it and to reinstitute their sacrifices and so on and so forth. And then it says in the middle of the week, after time and times and half a time, Daniel 9 verse 27, he's going to break that covenant. He's going to be a treaty breaker, a truce breaker, and he is going to go in as a Gentile, and he's going to go into that temple in Jerusalem. He's going to declare from there that he is God. Jews are going to flee for their lives into the wilderness. And the temple is going to be desolate. It's just going to be him in there. And he is the foul thing. He is the detestable thing. He is the abomination. So when you see the phrase, the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, stand in the sanctuary. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Verse 15, this is not something Christ wants to be a mystery. What he's saying here is when you see the Antichrist in the temple in Jerusalem, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now this is, again, clear instruction to the Jews. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything, out of the house. And then he gives instructions here for the Jews. And he says in verse 21, and this is where we coin the phrase, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as the world, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now Mark, in his account, in Mark 13, adds a little that I think is worth reading as we close. In verse 14 of Mark 13, he says this, "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, that is in the holy place where he shouldn't be, let him that readeth understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down and then the same instructions and so on and so forth. And the great tribulation, it says in different words here, 19, "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation." Can you imagine that? All the horrible things the world has been through, and yet it's nothing compared to this. And I failed to write it down in my notes. I'm sorry about that. But there's a scripture, and I want to close now anyway, but there's a scripture that says that God has prepared for them a place in the wilderness. And I forgot to write it down on my notes. But anyways, there are some that believe that that picture I sent around earlier is that place which is in Jordan, which is to the east, or across the Jordan River, go directly east from Jerusalem. You get to Jordan, and then there's this huge place, and that picture is just a small glimpse of it, called the Red Rose City of Petra. And we studied last week in Romans 12, remember how the devil through the Antichrist is going to persecute Israel, going to try to devour Israel, but God is going to prepare a place for them in Revelation 12 where they will be safe from the devil for 3.5 years. And because the devil and the Antichrist won't be able to get at Israel, he will turn, it says, his anger and wrath against the remnant of his seed, those that the Jews had led to Christ, will then begin to be persecuted. And there are many that believe that this city called Petra might be the place God has prepared for many of the Jews to flee and to be safe during that time. So you have to read Revelation 12 again if you weren't here last week. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because the word Petra is actually a word used for Christ. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," and he said to Peter one time, he said, "Thou art Peter, thou art Petros, a stone. And upon this rock, Petra himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So wouldn't it be interesting if they've named the place Petra, which is a name for Christ, that the Lord would take and put Israel and hide them in Christ. Wouldn't that be interesting? Just as a story. But I don't know about that. But anyways, I just wanted to show you tonight that he is going to someday rule over the whole earth, and we got few lessons to go on this. His policy of peace. He's going to come as a white horse with a bow, no arrows. Revelation 6 and verse 1, he's going to start, it says, conquering and to conquer at the beginning of the tribulation period. Coming in peaceably. We already read tonight, with his policy of peace shall he destroy many. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. He's going to sign a covenant of peace for 7 years. So he's going to use peace to deceive the world. Next week, we're going to look at some of the technology. I believe a lot of the electronic technology we see today is going to be used for him to control the world politically, economically, and religiously. And so let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand. We know that the things that are secret are for the Lord, but those things which are manifest are for us and for our children. And so help us, Lord. We don't pretend to know all the details, but your word is clear. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist despoiling your temple. and stopping the daily sacrifice and pronouncing from there that he is God and demanding the worship of the world and driving the Jews out and making it desolate. And Lord Jesus, you wanted us to understand this. And I believe you want us to, even though that was a Jewish prophecy, as Gentiles, to see the precursors to these things that are starting to be fulfilled in front of our eyes and could come to pass soon. And so, Lord, I pray again tonight would stir us up to serve thee, and that we might be zealous of good works in these last days and be affected by the prophecies of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.